your side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and His glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory. The mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood-washed throne I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. Amen. Come on, that choir.
Watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer. top and Jesus makes it right.
Just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. You know, the world's got a whole lot of answers for you on how to make things right. But the Lord's got the real answer. So have a little talk with him. Next time you want to call somebody and talk to them about what's going wrong, talk to the Lord first. You might not have to call that person you want them to call. But then again, you might, but talk to the Lord first, okay? Good to see you. If you are visiting today, please fill out a visitor's card. There should be one there in front of you and a pen for you to fill it out and drop it in the offering plate. We'd love to welcome you to Liberty Fellowship Church. And I'm just looking at one of the prettiest little faces ever right now. Love to see my kids' faces. I'm telling you, it makes my day. It makes my day to see the rest of you, too. Hey, like that. Okay, if you've had time to fill out that card, if you're visiting, we'd love for you to do that. And just keep in mind that we got some things going. By the way, you men need to be thinking that February is coming up here pretty soon, and the 14th will be here before you know it. I see question marks everywhere. Y'all need to wake up. Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. Okay. If our ushers would come forward to receive our morning offering today. They got their offering ready. Let's thank the Lord for this day. Dwayne, would you do that? Amen. Before Jesse comes to sing a song, just so in case you didn't know, we did lose one of our older members this past week. Brother Paul Whaley went on to be with the Lord. And would like to remind you that always keep Marty in your prayers and her family. And we've got a couple other members, Anthony's neighbor, Rosie has had a difficult time. She's in a nursing facility or a rehab center, Quillen Rehab. So remember her and her husband, Paul. there's just a whole lot of people in our congregation who need our prayers. And I always say put legs on our prayers too. When you pray for them, pick up the phone, give them a call. Even if you just text, you know, it's something to reach out. I say put legs on prayers because I'm always reminded of that woman that didn't like the beer joint next to her house, and she prayed that the Lord would burn it down. She struck a match that night and burned it up. So she don't only pray to the Lord, she set fire to it. I'm not telling y'all to go out and set fires now. Okay, we're not going to take that responsibility, but we got to do a little bit more than just words to the Lord. We let Him use us to help. Well, there goes our youngins. All of them. Hey, Lawson, you take care of everything, okay? That's a good-looking boy. Okay, Jesse's going to sing a song.
Be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots that run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke the truth into the lies that left my heart bleed. Look at me now. Look how you've made me new. The enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see. You were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke the truth.
Everybody ready to say, look what you've done? He did something in our life so that we could help do something in somebody else's life through him. Let's let him shine through us. Nick, you ready to preach?
I'm ready.
Don't waste any more time, son. I'm helping this young man like he's my own.
He is.
Yeah. Preach, brother.
Thank you.
Preacher Dan and Jesse made their way up, and before you know it, Dan was in there playing in the bounce house. And pictures have been taken. They will be distributed throughout the church so everybody can get a glimpse of that, okay? So we will make sure that everybody gets that. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 to you this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. And we had one of them mornings at my household. The devil was fighting hard. Me and Lene forgot to set an alarm clock, so we didn't get up till 8:30. So we were scrambling to get ready, trying to get the kids ready too. And then on our way out the door, Addie dropped her juice bottle and juice went flying all over the place. But that's why we've got a dog. The dog stepped right in and started drinking all of it up. So it worked out good, okay? So... I know they got them Rombas, and you can buy them vacuum cleaners from Japan that operate themselves, but to me, nothing beats a good old American dog when it comes to vacuum cleaning, all right? So I'll tell a little joke to you this morning. I like laughter. I think God wants us to laugh. We live in a very troubling time and a very serious time. There's not anything wrong with laughing, but there was this preacher that had been preaching at a church for 10, 15, 20 years. And every Sunday morning, this individual would come to this man's church and he would fall asleep during the sermon. Now, it wasn't necessarily the man's fault. He worked night shift and things like that. And he was a real accomplishment for him to make it to church on Sunday morning. But it finally, after about 15 years, it started rubbing this preacher the wrong way. He got to thinking, man, for 15 years I've preached and every morning, this same guy keeps falling asleep. So I'm going to get him next Sunday. So the preacher got this idea in his head. So the next Sunday morning, the preacher was preaching and he kept a close eye on that guy and he saw that that guy fell asleep like he always had. And then real quietly, the preacher said, if you're going to heaven, stand up. And all the people in the church stood up besides that guy that had fell asleep. And then really loud, the preacher said, if you're going to hell, please stand up. And the guy that was asleep stood up. And the preacher said, sir, what do you to have for yourself? And the guy looked back at the preacher and he said, preacher, I don't know, but me and you must be the only ones for it because we're the only two standing, all right? So I thought that was kind of funny this morning, okay? Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning, okay? God, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for the beautiful singing. We thank you for Sunday school, God. And we thank you, Lord, for all those people that have made a special effort to come out to your house this morning, Lord God. And I pray, God, that you will just bless all of them this morning, Jesus. God, I pray that you be with those that were unable to make it this morning due to physical ailments and sickness and surgeries and things like that. God, I pray, God, that you will just bless and be with them this morning. I pray, God, that you be with that dear family. Brother went home to be with the Lord. God, I pray, God, that you'll just bless and be with them during this time as well. God, I pray, God, that we say what you would have us to say this morning. God, just remove me totally. And God, just let me say the words that you want said this morning. God, I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be anything about me or anything like that, God. But God, I want everything to come directly from you this morning, because it must come from you in order for there to be power. It must come from you in order for there to be an effect, a change, God. And God, I'm asking, God, that you'll just use me this morning, God. Forgive me of my sins, where I failed you, where I've done wrong for you. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Anybody watch Tennessee last night? Man, they looked good, didn't they? Yeah, they looked good. All right, here we go. The thought that God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind is, Lord God, only you know. Lord God, only you know. Now, this is a scripture that's used a lot in revivals. Preachers will use it for revivals. And there is a great revival message here. But God has led me a different way when it comes to this message this morning. So we're just going to jump right into the scripture and see where God takes us, okay? But it says in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord." In other words, and let me give you a little bit of back history on who Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was a prophet. And he was somebody that was living during the Babylonian captivity of the Israelites. So he had experienced, he had went through a very hard and very difficult time that the Israelites had went through. And if you look at the Israelites' history, man, they always seemed to find themselves in trouble, didn't they? They found themselves in bondage and slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And then they find themselves wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they find themselves in droughts, and they find themselves in captivity in Babylon. And I know you all been talking about that here in Wednesday night Bible study and things like that. But you always see the Israelites always found themselves in some type of trouble. But also, if you take a deeper dive into that, you'll see that they put themselves there probably 100% of the time. Whether it be through disobedience, and whether it be through sin, or whether it be through not obeying God, not doing what God would have them to do, not keeping His commandments, but building false idols and false gods and things like that. But the thing about the Israelites is, even though they always put themselves into trouble, God always let them out. Man, ain't God great this morning? I can look back at my life, and I think that you all can look back at your lives this morning, and you can say, man, I've put myself in a lot of trouble. Amen. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. I've been to some places that I shouldn't have been. I've sinned. I've been disobedient to God. But thank God, when you go to God in a sincere heart of repentance and you ask for forgiveness, not only does God forgive you, but God brings you out. Just as He did the Israelites in Egypt, and just as He did in Babylonian captivity, and just as He ended the drought, God led the Israelites out of all those troubles. Listen, I want to tell you all this something this morning, church. We are living in a troublesome time, but one day God is going to send His Son Jesus back, and God is going to lead us out. And it's going to be over. How thankful that we all can be for that. But we can see here that Ezekiel was led by the Spirit. So Ezekiel is having a vision. This is a vision right here, and he is led by the Spirit. I want to tell you something this morning. As a Christian, as a child of God, I hope you ain't leading yourself, because you're going the wrong way. I hope that you ain't following somebody that's not saved. I hope you're not following somebody that's not a Christian, because if you are, you're going in the wrong direction. Listen, it's okay for me to follow Jimmy, or okay for me to follow Tom, or okay to follow Dan. And Tom brought this up in Sunday school one time. As long as they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, that's good. Listen, wives and children, it's okay to follow your husband as long as your husband is a man of God, your husband is saved, and your husband is walking in the paths of God. But if not, that's a different story. But we can see right here in God's holy word, and I want to say something about that in a minute. Because I'm a school teacher and I see this all the time. We have a shortage in the United States of America of dads. Dads. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. I always forget that. Nobody wants to be a dad anymore. A lot of kids don't have a dad or don't know who their daddy is. And then a lot of kids, if they don't have a dad or don't know who their daddy is, they don't even have a strong male influence in their life. And I want to say this morning. I hope it doesn't rub anybody the wrong way, but the way Tom's been teaching, I'm not worried about it this morning, okay? God intended for a child to have a mother and a father. Not two moms and not two dads. And you might say, well, why did God intend for a child to have a mother and a father? It's because they're different. We're made different. And it's important for a child to have both that motherly influence and that fatherly influence in their lives. And I think a lot of the problems that are going on in our land today is because we've turned our back on God as a country. But a big thing is the absence of a father in the households. And we are living in a day and a time where it's perfectly legal for two women to adopt a child and for two men to adopt a child. And I want to say something right now. That goes against the Word of God. God intended for man and woman to have child and to raise child, and that's what God says. There's no adjusting it or anything like that. And the argument that you'll hear today, well, it's 2023. Times have changed. Times may have changed, but Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, praise God. The same God that was alive when the earth was created, and the same God that sent the commandments in the Old Testament, and the same Jesus that came in the New Testament and told us how to live. Those laws still apply. Those virtues still apply. Yes, everything may change. You know what's wrong with the world today? It's easier to give in. Let's just give in. It'll be a lot easier. Now we're getting to a day and a time where in a lot of churches, and I'm so thankful that this church hadn't. Me and my family's been coming here, I think, since October. If not October, I don't know when. But we've been coming here a little while now. But I'll tell you right now, we are living in a day and a time where churches are giving in. They'll allow homosexuals to get up behind the pulpit and preach and proclaim the Word of God. They'll allow women to get up behind the pulpit and preach and proclaim the Word of God. Listen, that goes against God's Word. That goes against God's Word this morning. But the sad thing about it is we're living in a day and a time where nobody cares. Nobody's saying anything about it. Everybody's like, well, that's just the day and a time that we're living in and things like that. Listen, I'm not ashamed of the old paths. I'm not ashamed of the way that God has set up God's house should be run. I'm not ashamed of the way that God says the way that we should live and things like that. I'm not ashamed of the way that God says that we are to walk, praise God. The Bible says that we are to be a peculiar people, that we are to be a separate people, praise God. And I'm thankful this morning, bless God, that I come to a church, hallelujah, where we're a separate people, hallelujah. I'm glad here at Liberty Fellowship we don't fit in with the world. The world can have the world, praise God. I'm claiming heaven as my home. All right? But if you look at everything that's going on in the world today, you can say, man, are we not living in a time of dry bones? Yeah. Spiritually speaking, we're living in a time of dry bones. And I got to thinking about Ezekiel here. The Spirit led Ezekiel. What does the Bible say about the Spirit? Romans 8:14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah this morning. Ain't that good to know? You should know beyond the shadow of a doubt whether or not you are saved. No doubt. Somebody asks you if you're saved and you got to think about it a second, I tell you right now, you better talk with God. Because somebody asked me if I'm saved, hallelujah, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. That's not something you have to stop and think about or anything like that, hallelujah. And that's one thing the devil loves to do. The devil loves to get Christians to doubt their salvation. The devil loves to get Christians to have doubt in their lives and things like that. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the very moment that you did that, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of you, praise God, and dwelled inside of you, hallelujah, claiming you as a child of God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. So how do you know if you're saved? Does the Spirit of God lead you in your daily life? The Spirit of God knock on that heart and say, Nick, go this way. Say, Nick, don't go that way. Listen, I love how God works. Me and Ellie went to Walmart yesterday to pick up cupcakes. Man, I love food. And we went to pick up them cupcakes, and I had to look around for a little while and things like that. And I went away. You know, you go to the Walmart in Elizabeth, and when you enter the door, if you go right there's the bakery. But I didn't go that way first. I went around the long way. Went around the long way, just wanted to walk around and things like that. I ran into a substitute teacher that I had in high school. You might say, well, that sounds silly or something like that. No, I don't think that's silly at all. I think God led me that long way around so I could come in contact with that guy. We had a good talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, where the Spirit leads you, hallelujah, go that direction. And you might be thinking, well, what's going to happen when I get there? Don't worry about it, hallelujah. Why? Because the Spirit's leading you. And if the Spirit's leading you there, the Spirit's going to give you the words to say. You don't have to worry about that. So yes, Romans 8:14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God in this vision leads Ezekiel to a valley which is full of bones. And then in verse 2 we can see, and caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So God in this vision wanted Ezekiel to get a great view of this valley of dry bones. He just takes him through it on a journey. Looking left, looking right, looking down, looking around and things like that. So I can just see God taking Ezekiel through this valley of dry bones and Ezekiel looking at all these dry bones. Decay. Death. Hopelessness. That's the day and the time we're living in now. You look around, you watch the news, you read what Tom read about in the paper about the Pope and things like that. Man, if you look around, we're living in a spiritual valley of dry bones. A lot of people are, and you know what's sad? A lot of people don't even realize it. They don't even know that they're living in a spiritual valley of dry bones. So that gets us through verse 2 right there. So Ezekiel is very aware of where he is at. He sees the death. He sees the decay. And the Bible describes the bones as not only being dry, but they are very dry. In other words, these bones have been dead a long time. There was no skin. There was no muscles. I can imagine these bones being so dry that if you tried to pick one up, it would just disintegrate in your hand. That's how dry that these bones were. And again, I think you can make a spiritual parallel to the day and the time that we're living in today. How spiritually dry the world has gotten. So this gets us to the main point of the message that God has laid upon our hearts and upon our minds. Verse 3, and He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now I don't know about you all this morning, but Nick Kaubach in the flesh, if I was right here in this moment and God was leading me in a vision through all these valley of dry bones and I saw that they were so dry that if I picked one up, it would just disintegrate in my hands and my human flesh, I would think in my mind, well, there ain't no way that these bones can live. They've been dead for so long. They've been dead for so long. It don't even smell. It don't even stink. All the flesh is decayed. All the muscles is gone. All the skin is gone. There's no way that these bones can live. That's what would be going through my mind. Maybe the same thing would be going through your mind this morning. Maybe if you look at your life this morning, just look at your life this morning, and you say, man, there's no way I can spiritually be where I used to be. I'm not as spiritually on fire for God like I used to be. I'm not as spiritually enthused for God that I used to be. I'm just like the valley of dry bones. I'm there, but there's nothing there. Just sitting in a pew. Just taking up space. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I'm saying this out of love. People can come to church and put on a happy face and put on a beautiful smile and put on a beautiful dress and have their hair look good. I can wear a tie. I can wear a vest. I can have brand new shoes and all this stuff, pull in a brand new car, but inside be spiritually dead. Inside have dry bones. Maybe something going on at home that you're worried about. And spiritually, it's causing you to dry up. Maybe something going on at work that nobody knows about, but maybe you and your family, or maybe just you that knows about it. Man, it just gets so bad and gets so troublesome and gets so hard that spiritually your bones just begin to dry up. I think we've all been there before. I've been there before. I'm not ashamed to say it. Listen, I'm nobody without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to say any of this morning. And if we live on this earth long enough, we are going to have moments in our life where our bones spiritually feel like that they are drying up. And we feel like, man, I'll never get back to where I want to be. I'll never be back to reading my Bible like I used to. I'll never be back to praying like I used to. I'll never be back to going back to church like I used to, because I'm so spiritually dry. I'm so indifferent. I just don't have the drive for God like I used to have. That happens. That happens to preachers, deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers. Nobody can be, immune. Thank you. Nobody is immune to this. This can happen to anybody. Mental issues. Don't talk about that, because physical issues are easy to address, because we know when somebody's having surgery. We know when somebody's passed away. We know when somebody's been in a car wreck. We know then, hey, I need to pray for that individual. But something that we forgot about, a lot of churches have forgot about, and it's just a times thing, but mental issues seem to never be addressed. Listen, I work in a school. The amount of mental issues that these kids have because their parents don't care about them and because their parents don't have in church, it would disturb you. How much 7, 8, 9, 10 years old mentally are disturbed because literally they don't know any better. They don't. It's disturbing. And I get an opportunity to meet with these kids one-on-one online, and some of the stuff they tell me, it will just rip your heart out. I got a kid right now that I'm teaching. His mom and dad won't have anything to do with him, and he's had to move in with his grandparents. He's in the fourth grade, and his mommy and daddy won't have anything to do with him. And we expect that child to be mentally okay? No. They're not going to be mentally okay. They're not going to be mentally okay. Yes, we've got a lot of dry bones in the day and time that we're living in. But I'm thankful, praise God, that Jesus can do something about it. That God can do something about it. That the Holy Spirit can do something about it. So God tells Ezekiel, says, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to these dry bones. And I love what Ezekiel said here in verse 3. God said, Son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel didn't say no. There's no way. Ezekiel didn't say yes. I know, God, these bones can live. Ezekiel said, Lord God, only you know. Ezekiel said, God, it's up to you. It's up to you whether or not these bones are going to live. It's not up to me. It's not up to any other Israelites or anything like that. But God, it is up to you whether or not these bones are going to live. Are you not thankful this morning, praise God, that it's up to God? In a world that's saying you can't, you can't, you can't, God can look down and say, hey, you know what? It's not up to the world, but praise God, it's up to me. And if I say you can live, hallelujah, you can live, praise God. If I say you can walk, hallelujah, you can walk, hallelujah. If I say you can be saved, praise God, you can be saved. If I say those bones don't have to be dry no more, then praise God, those bones don't have to be dry no more. Lord God, only you know. So let's get into this. Ezekiel starts preaching to a valley of dry bones. Now, Dan, I don't know about you. Papa, I don't know about you. Gene, I don't know about you. But that wouldn't exactly excite me a little bit to go preach in front of a valley of dry bones. But Ezekiel did it because that's where God led him. Man alive. Sometimes God will lead us to places that don't make any sense. But praise God, there's always a treasure there that can be found, because God has led us there. God was getting ready to bless Ezekiel through this vision, and he was getting ready to bless Israel as well. So we get to verse 4. And we get to verse 4, and this is where God tells Ezekiel what I want you to preach. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel gets his instructions to go and preach to these valley of dry bones. So we're going to look at this and see how these dry bones come back to life. So if you're sitting here this morning and you feel like you got spiritually dry bones, God is going to tell you, not Nick Kaubach, God is going to tell you how those bones don't have to be dry no more. What is the first thing that Ezekiel had to do? Prophesy upon these bones. In other words, the first thing that Ezekiel had to do was he had to preach to them. I love singing. Jesse, I love that song. I don't know if you're up here, if you're in the nursery. That's my jam on the way to work every morning. I always listen to that song. I love that song. Beautiful song. I love good gospel singing. Southern gospel, bluegrass gospel, contemporary gospel. I like anything that uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all about it, praise God. I don't care if there's drums in the background or not. Drums can be used to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care. Anything to uplift Jesus is great. But I want to tell you something right now, praise God. Nothing takes the place of the Word of God. Nothing takes the place of hearing teaching about the Word of God. Nothing takes the place about the preaching of the Word of God. And we are living in a day and a time that we're living in today. A lot of modern churches go to church just so they can see the concert for the day. Or the performance of the day. The stress, they're not pushing the Word of God. They're not pushing the message. They're not pushing the Sunday school. They're pushing the singing. And I know singing has messages in it. I'm not knocking singing. I love singing. I love it. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But what I'm saying is the Word of God must be preached and proclaimed. If you're sitting there with dry bones this morning, you need to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed. And you better be thankful you've got a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, and Gene, I've heard Gene teach Sunday school here and preach here too. You've got some people in this church, praise God, that preach the Word of God. Be thankful for it, because that's not everywhere. It's not. Not in the day and time we're living in. So he says, Ezekiel, go and preach the Word of God. What does the Bible say about preaching the Word of God? 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. It didn't say preach half the Word. Preach just the Old Testament or preach just the New Testament. It said preach the Word. All of it. The stuff that's uncomfortable, the stuff that goes against the day and the time that we're living in and things like that, preach the entire Word of God. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, praise God. If you're sitting there with dry bones, praise God, get in front of a preacher that preaches the eternal Word of God. Get in front of a teacher that teaches the eternal Word of God. And before you know it, those bones start to feel a little bit better. That's what's wrong with the world today. Nobody wants to go to church anymore. And if they do go to a church, they want to go to a church where everything's okay, where they'll be accepted and all this stuff. And listen, we should accept anybody into God's house because it's all about, the only thing that matters at the end of the day is getting souls to Jesus. And in order for get souls to Jesus, the lost must come in. But the lost must come in to true Bible-believing churches that preach the eternal Word of God so God can make a difference in their lives. Praise God. I'm thankful that when a lost person comes into this church, they're going to feel some power. They're going to feel some conviction. They're going to feel, hey, there needs to be a change made in my life. Thank God. Are you not thankful that one day you came to God's house and a preacher preached the Word of God? Or maybe it was Bible school. Or maybe it was a teacher and it fell on you like a ton of bricks and God said, hey, you need to make a change in your life. Hallelujah. And you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what we need today in the time that we're living in. I'm thankful that we have that here at Liberty Fellowship. Amen. Ezekiel prophesied, he preached. And then he said, bones hear the word of the Lord. How in the world can a dry bones hear the word of God? Yeah, we're looking at this spiritually this morning. You can be sitting there, spiritually dry bones. I hope you're listening. But I really want you to listen to this part. The preacher can get up and preach till they're blue in the face. The preacher can get up and preach till they're about to pass out. The preacher can get up here and teach the greatest lessons that's ever been heard. But if you ain't hearing it, it ain't doing nothing for you. You got to hear it. These bones not only had to be in the presence of the Word of God, but these bones also had to hear the Word of God. So I'm telling you right now, spiritually speaking, if you've got dry bones, I'm begging with you, I'm pleading with you, hear the Word of God this morning. What does the Bible say about hearing the Word of God? In James chapter 1 and verse 22. And I'm going to read this, then talk about it in a minute. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Well, it tells us in James that we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. But here's the thing with that. You can't do unless you hear. I know that's simple, but it's the truth. You can't do unless you hear. That's why you must hear the Word of God preached, taught, read your Bible on your own and things like that. Because when you are hearing it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, before you know it, you start doing it. Hallelujah. I can remember Mom and Dad used to tell me all the time, Nick, don't lie, Nick, don't lie, Nick, don't lie, Nick, don't lie. And Mom's going to kill me for saying this story, but I got to share it. I was in eighth grade. And I still lied. I told my mom and dad that I passed a science test, and this was bad because our science teacher we went to church with. How crazy did I have to be? Vicki Greer. She told Mom I had failed a test. Got home from church. I was in the eighth grade. Mom gave me a whooping because I lied. Amen. I heard that time. And I didn't do no more. I didn't lie no more. I know it's a funny example. But sometimes God needs to whip us a little bit so that we'll hear and then we'll do. Sometimes we've got to hear it several times. I have it now with Ellie and Addie. If I had how many times I said no at home, I would be a millionaire. And it's gotten so bad, Addie just looks at me and says, no, 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 no. It's rubbed off on her. But sometimes God needs to whip us a little bit. So we'll hear and then we'll do. So be ye hearers of the Word and doers. Do both. But you can't do unless you hear. So these valley of dry bones, I can see Ezekiel preaching to them. And then these dry bones start listening. So if you've got dry bones this morning, you start listening. And then what happens? Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. He's in a valley of death. He's in a valley of hopelessness. But Ezekiel hears a noise. And this noise ain't his voice preaching. What's this noise that he hears? And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. So I can, here's my visual, and I just like to give illustrations. I can just see Ezekiel preaching, and as he's preaching, I can see him looking around and maybe seeing an arm bone begin to shake. And maybe looking over here and seeing a skull begin to shake. And looking over there and seeing a foot bone begin to shake. And looking back here and seeing a leg bone begin to shake. And I can see as maybe Ezekiel begin to see those dead bones shake. Those dead, very dry bones. I think Ezekiel got a little bit excited, don't you? He's like, hey, this preaching ain't going void. God's Word will not return void. Listen, God's Word will not return void. Ezekiel's preaching to a valley of dry bones, yet the Word of God was so powerful that these dry bones begin to shake, rattle, and roll. Song went through my head. Little kid song when I taught first grade, but I could just see as these bones begin to come together, that little kid song, the neck bones connected to the backbone. I could just see all that going on. I can see Ezekiel. I don't think there's anything wrong with this, but I can see Ezekiel dodging and dunking so them bones don't hit him in the head. And this vision. Man alive, how powerful is the Word of God. If you've got spiritual dry bones this morning, the Word of God's all you need to liven them up. So you look at this, not only do the bones come together, but then, verse 8, and when I behold, lo, the sinews, that's the muscles, tissue, and the flesh came upon them. So not only are the bones back together. Now think about this. Think about how great God is. This might be a crazy example, but imagine I'm in a valley of dry bones and I'm one of those people that's dead. My arm bone may be over here, my leg bone may be all the way over here, but God is so powerful, there was no misconnected bones. Every bone went back to the right body. Hallelujah. That's how great that God is. So skin comes upon them, flesh comes upon them, but there was still a problem. Look at the end of verse 8. But there was no breath in them. They looked great on the outside. They still dead. That goes back to what we said earlier. You can look great on the outside, but inside you can still be dead. You can still have dry bones. They needed one more thing for these bones to come to life. And this gets us to verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I can see Ezekiel saying, from the west come wind, from the east come wind, from the north come wind, from the south come wind, and then all this wind starts to come, and this wind is the breath of God. Just as in the book of Genesis, when the breath of God entered Adam's nostrils, this was the same breath that was going to go into these valley of dry bones, praise God. And what did this symbolize here? What did this wind symbolize? It symbolized the breath of God and it symbolized the Spirit of God. Those people were still dead even though their bones were attached and they had skin on them and they looked great until the Spirit of God came and dwelled and lived inside of them. But then when that happened, verse 10, this is my favorite part of the whole passage. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet. If you're sitting there this morning and you're full of dry bones, know that you can live again and you can stand up on your feet. And what did they become? An exceeding great army. They went from a valley of dry bones, very dry bones, death, hopelessness, destruction. In verse 1 and 2, and then you get to verse 10, and God's turned them into an exceedingly great army. Amen. That's what God can do with a valley of dry bones. So I want to ask you some stuff this morning, then we'll have an invitation. Are you spiritually indifferent this morning? Are you cold? Spiritually cold? Are you lukewarm? The Bible says in Revelation, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Right. See, the thing about being a lukewarm Christian is this. You're just caught right in the middle. Think of it like this. If you got soup and you pour it out in the pan, you know if it's hot or you know if it's cold. But when it's lukewarm, you don't know whether or not to eat it or not. Is it too hot or too cold? That's the same way with our Christian life. If we are lukewarm, we don't know what we are. We're just straddling the fence. At least if you're cold as a Christian, you know you need God to turn the heat up. You know. But if you're lukewarm, you really don't know. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, how do your bones feel spiritually? Do you feel spiritually dead? If you do, you've heard the Word of God preached. You've heard it taught this morning. Now all you need to do is come down and pray and talk to God and say, God, send your Holy Spirit like you did in that valley of dry bones and fill me up again and let my bones come back to life. Let's all stand to our feet this morning, okay? Every head bow, every eye closed. Les, if you got a song for us to sing, that'd be great. Are you spiritually cold this morning? Are you spiritually indifferent? Do you feel like you're in a valley of dry bones and you need God to put you back up on your feet? You're going to make a decision right now. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let God talk to you, and you're welcome to come down here and I'll pray with you this morning. Anybody will. Thank you. Amen. 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 God's speaking this morning. God's speaking this morning. God's dealing with you. You come down this morning. Turn it back over to you, buddy, okay?
Thank the Lord for the message today. Ain't nothing pretty about dry bones. Nothing appetizing about a group of folks that have a lot of dry bones. But the Lord can put the life back into it. Nick, thank you for that message. And I thank you for not just each individual, but for the whole of our church. We can begin to be used of God if we're experiencing that life He's talking about. Don't forget that tonight is a special night. If you like to sing a note or two, this is a great time for you to come. Now, it's not karaoke. Okay? It's come and sing. We can sing along. We can sing a solo. We can sing a duet. If you or you and your mate sing a song, come and sing it tonight. It's just a open mic. We'll call it open mic. Come and sing. It's one of the best services I guess I've ever been in here at the church. It's when everybody just comes and sings what they want to. And if any of y'all would like to get a little trio or something together this afternoon and come and sing tonight with it, come on. Becky will play for you if you need a pianist, right, Beck?
Yeah.
So we'll be looking for you. Just come this evening. At 6 o'clock, we'll be having fifth Sunday night singing, and it tickles me to death to be able to be a part of that. Tickles me to death to be a part of Liberty Fellowship Church. I've taken a liking to it. Amen. Okay, we'll be bowing our heads and we'll be asking the Lord to bless you as you go. Don't forget Paul and Marty's family today. They've got daughters and their husbands, and just pray for them. It's a big loss for them. Paul was a few years older than me, and he used to brag about it, that he was older than me. And Marty used to brag that I was older than her, and she can still do that because I'm still a year older than her. But pray for her, and please do that. And for Rosie and her husband, we got a lot of folks that need prayers, and then we'll put legs on them, okay? Okay, Brother Ray, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, brother?
Father, help us, God.